Welcome to Post Status Draft, the official podcast for Post Status, a website with news and information for WordPress professionals. Today is an exciting day because I get to interview Matt Mullenweg, the co-founder of WordPress. He's also the founder and CEO of Automattic, the makers of WordPress.com. We talk about the new WordPress.com editor and the Mac desktop app, Calypso, and a lot more. If you enjoy this interview, you can get a lot more quality news and analysis from the Post Status Club multiple times per week. Check out our current club members, site partners, and join the club on our website at poststatus.com/club. You'll be joining nearly 500 wonderful club members, and you'll never miss important WordPress news again. Today, I'd like to feature our founding partner, the Theme Foundry. The Theme Foundry makes outstanding WordPress themes, like the powerful drag-and-drop Make theme, with unmatched versatility, power, and style. It's free to download, and has an option to level up with Make Pro. Check out Make and all their other great themes at thethemefoundry.com. Thank you to the team at the Theme Foundry for being a Post Status partner. Now here's our show. Hey everybody, I'm here with Matt Mullenweg. Matt, you should know, but he's the co-founder of WordPress, the founder of Automattic, and for about a year now, right, Matt? Automattic CEO?
Yeah, coming up on 2 years in January.
Cool. So one of the first things you did, you just recently announced Calypso, which is the end of a development cycle that has spanned pretty much the entire tenure that you've been the CEO. So why did you decide to put this huge focus on a project like Calypso right out of the gate?
It was definitely a big bet, but you know, there's the old saying, the best way to predict the future is to create it. I've been talking for a couple of years now on stage at State of the Words and things like that, that the future of WordPress is as an app platform. And yeah, it seemed the best way to show what I think the future could be was to build something. And so, and I think automaticians really drove that. You know, a lot of people bought into that vision and understood it. And together we built something that I'm very proud of.
What do you think this does to improve the WordPress.com experience? Was there a particular statistic that y'all saw on WordPress.com or something that was driving you to know that you needed to create a better experience for writing?
Well, it's, again, something I talked about on stage. Do you remember a few years ago when I talked about how like 95% of people who start a WordPress don't end up using it?
I was going to repeat this statistic to you in just a minute. So yeah, I do.
What was the exact number? I don't remember.
I think it was 96% drop off within the first like 3 months or something like that.
Oh man. Or
6 months. I don't remember the exact timeline, but I think it was 4% that stick with it.
But so imagine everything WordPress has done so far, which is 4% of people figuring it out. So if we can take that to 6 or 10% or 15%, I mean, it has a huge impact on WordPress's growth. And I'm always looking for things that are gonna move the needle for the growth of WordPress overall. In fact, you know, it's something I talk about with release leads is this just a nice to have feature, or is this going to actually change the growth curve of WordPress?
When you think about these features, how much do you differentiate WordPress.com versus WordPress?
In what regard?
When you're thinking about an investment from the Automattic side of things and the way it'll improve WordPress, sometimes you toss WordPress.com versus WordPress back and forth. And I know you consider some of these features will translate, like obviously I want to get into the open source nature of the work that y'all did with this. But you talk about how the features translate, you know, they'll benefit WordPress as a whole, but when you're trying to figure, is this investment worthwhile and how many people are we going to put on it and things like that, how much are you considering WordPress.com versus benefiting WordPress as a whole?
I really think about WordPress as a whole first and foremost, and .com as a gateway for many people, you know, to get involved with WordPress.
Would your ideal workflow for a user to be to go on WordPress.com, start a free blog, to upgrade to the $99 or $299 plan, and then to eventually go to WordPress.org? Would that be ideal for you, or would you love for someone to stay on WordPress.com their entire blogging tenure?
For me, the ideal is if their problems are being solved, if they're able to accomplish what they set out to do when they signed up, whether that's with us or one of the web hosts or using Jetpack or not or anything. Like, if they're using WordPress, they're part of the family, and We want to help them accomplish their goals, you know? Probably they didn't wake up in the morning and say, hey, I want to have a WordPress. They probably woke up in the morning and said, hey, I want more customers in my restaurant. Or I have a story I want to tell. I want to connect with people. Or I want more feedback on my writing. There's all these sort of things that they're having as goals. Or I want to get hired and I want a beautiful portfolio site that displays my photography. These are the things that people are trying to solve. And so that's what I really want.
This is the second time I've heard you recently refer to WordPress as a WordPress. Basecamp recently made the switch to where they start calling projects Basecamps. Is this our new thing where our WordPress websites are just WordPresses now?
Oh, I've been doing that for years.
Oh, yeah? I guess yeah. I've just missed it.
Yeah, it's basically because internally we had a huge debate on, you know, whether to call it blogs or sites.
Mm-hmm.
And the sort of cutting of the Gordian knot was, let's just call it a WordPress.
That's fair. The WordPress.com homepage now defaults to the reader for logged in users, or at least it does for me. Why do you think the reading experience should be a primary view versus a writing experience?
So the homepage defaults to a what?
When I log into WordPress.com, it sends me straight to the reading view.
Oh, to the reader, yeah. Well, think about it. You, even as someone who's a pretty active blogger, probably post how many times do you post a week?
Publicly, maybe once or twice, and privately to logged in users or members that I email out, 10 times a week, probably.
Cool. You're pretty active. So let's. But think of most people as, even if they're pretty active, posting a couple days a week.
Mm-hmm.
But I can almost guarantee that if you're online, you're reading a WordPress site every day of the week.
So you want to default to that view?
Yeah, because we want people coming back every day and interacting with WordPress every day. So the reader, I think, can be very compelling. There's so much work to do there that will make the reader a lot better. But we've got a good start in. And I think that it can start to close the loop a little bit. You know, you've heard me talk before about how WordPress has only ever done one side of it, the writing side. But every major social platform of the past 10 years has really married both the reading and the writing. And I think that we can get people to blog more if we have sort of a very easy path to the ocean when they're reading. That blogging something or reacting to something can be just a click away.
Have you heard people in this is like kind of startup stuff, I guess, but people sometimes talk about the difference between a network and a platform. In a network, I guess, being more something that connects people, like you just mentioned, like typically what you think of with social networks, versus platform that's more of a utility tool. Do you consider WordPress.com one of those or both? And how does that play into the way people use WordPress.com?
I think we have elements of a network today, but it's very nascent, you know? And I really do believe that tens of millions of people more than we have today could find these features compelling.
Do you think there's opportunity for someone, for instance, to read a blog post that's or any piece of content that's hosted on WordPress.com and then get recommended to other familiar content within the broader WordPress.com network?
Totally. And not just .com, any site that runs Jetpack. And in fact, the reader works with any site on the web. It works with RSS feeds too. We just don't call it RSS.
RSS isn't cool anymore.
I think RSS is cooler than ever. It just we can just, you know, the terminology of following a site is more familiar to people.
Yeah. So Calypso has a lot of features. It's basically the entire... Well, I call it Calypso. This has been a semantic issue the last couple of days since it was released. To be clear to people, Calypso is the project name, and it encompasses all of the new APIs and code that went into a project that refaced the WordPress.com experience, and that was also ported to a WordPress.com Mac app. So when I say Calypso, I'm talking about the project more so than the app. Why did you decide to put so many of the features in together? Why not just the editor first or just the reader? Why the big landing?
You know, so much of it's dependent on each other. You know, we want to provide a cohesive experience. If you think about it, really, if you've been a WordPress.com user the past couple of years, you've been bouncing between this WP admin experience and this sort of new experience. Mm-hmm. And it's gone through a few pretty major code iterations as well. Calypso is the latest and the one that feels like the one that's like our next decade. But we had many attempts before that didn't work out as well. But so this sort of the release was that you can now have a full cohesive experience only in the new stuff. And that's a big deal.
Y'all open sourced a lot of the code, or all of the code.
All of it, yeah.
So you can find that on GitHub at /automatic/WP-Calypso.
And actually today it's one of the top projects trending on GitHub.
Oh, awesome.
And it's already had thousands and thousands of stars and people following it.
And it can be run pretty quickly. You can get it set up locally so that you can actually run it as an entire project. You don't have a lot of requirements. How difficult would it be to decouple the WordPress.com connections and someone create a WordPress.org style connection to this code base?
Tricky, but not impossible. And I think something else, you know, that I would encourage, especially since you have a more of a developer audience, people to check out is like all the modules and components, mm-hmm. React components in the app, which are 100% reusable.
Yeah, actually, there must be 100 components within the client folder on Calypso for people that are listening to this, from accordions to buttons, and these are all React components. Why did y'all decide? Is this React, and are you also using? I don't know exactly much about Mac apps, but are you using React Native as well, or just just the main React library?
I think we're wrapping it in something called Electron. Is what we're doing to get the native stuff.
Okay. So Electron.
Kind of like Atom or Slack.
Right. But yeah, there must be 100 of these different components that y'all are using. Is there a particular reason you went with React?
We evaluated everything.
Okay.
I don't remember. It's a little while ago now, but the team under Andy Peetling found that this was the best combination of both a developer approach and what we wanted. For example, I'll tell you something really, really cool that's in Calypso that everyone can try at home. Let's say you have 10 WordPresses hooked up. You can activate auto updates in bulk for all of them and then navigate to one of the sites. And then as it actually goes through, you see that little toggle change as it gets to that one. Same thing with plugin upgrades or any of these sort of bulk actions. When they go to Jetpack sites, it's a little bit slower. So it's kind of cool to actually see as the data changes, as the state changes, that your interface updates immediately in real time.
Unfortunately, I haven't gotten too deep into the WordPress.org Jetpack connection yet. I need to call support. something that my friends at Jetpack are very familiar with. But they work really hard, and I'm sure we'll get it worked out quickly.
I think we have some people on your Slack, right, that are trying to help out?
Yeah, there's a bunch of people on the PostStatus Slack are playing with the new Mac app, and a number of people from the Jetpack team are in there helping them out and getting everybody familiar.
Awesome. I'm really glad to hear that.
Yeah, there's been a lot of good feedback, but there's also been a little bit of confusion of people trying to figure out what this means for WordPress, the platform. And this is, I think, something that's not just Calypso-based, but anything that interacts with whether it's the WordPress.com REST API or the new WordPress REST API. Mm-hmm. It seems we're going to have some fragmentation as people decide to decouple their services from parts of WordPress, whether they rebuild the front end in something else or they build a custom admin interface. What type of education do you think the project is going to need to do for end users so that they understand what part of WordPress they're getting and the types of the fragmentation that can happen with, for instance, like you might expect, well, why can't I install this plugin and it just work? But the front end is not even running on WordPress. It's running through the REST API. What type of steps do you think we can take as a community to improve that experience?
You know, I think we're going to have a lot of experimentation. I would call it experimentation instead of fragmentation. And then we'll see what works best, and we'll mainline that, you know? I think that as a community, we should adopt what we see the best results from. So, yeah, I don't mind that at all. You know, one thing I'm worried about, though,
yeah,
a little bit, is that as more and more sites become sort of REST API powered, we'll lose the ability to detect that they're powered by WordPress. And so it'd be nice if we had some sort of like a header or something, that even if you're building a complete custom front end, a node or something, if there's a WordPress in the back end powering it, that we send some sort of header. So as we continue the crawl and spider the web, we can still tell, you know, what the percentage is.
This sounds like a task for Gary Pendergast to me.
Well, it'd really be up to the people building things on top of stuff. So we just need to pick a header and then kind of make it a best practice.
Is there a WordPress emoji yet?
Not yet.
We could put those in. So you said that not everyone was convinced that you should release this code as open source. I recently read an article from one of your former employees, Ben Thompson, who was talking about Google's decision to make their machine learning software open source. And he talked about how proprietary software isn't necessarily what makes a company successful. And he said, rather, this is a quote, companies that are built on software but differentiated by a difficult-to-replicate complement to said software is what can make them successful. So what do you consider to be Automattic, and specifically WordPress.com's, differentiating factor?
Kind of everything, you know. we do quite a bit in terms of the services we provide, and we have a lot more around the corner. So if you look at, you know, one of the things you asked, could Calypso be decoupled from WordPress.com? And also a lot of the things in Calypso, like the reader notifications, for example, being two big ones, stats being another big one, are kind of things that exist as Jetpack or Automattic services right now. And so to decouple it, you need to hook it up to something else if you wanted that feature at all.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing to say that. Say the reader couldn't be hooked up to maybe Feedly.
Mm-hmm. But do you think, is it the scale that Automattic can provide, or is it the... Is it your ability to be a part of someone's web life, kind of whether from the beginning to the advanced? What do you think is really setting you guys apart from other content management systems or writing platforms? It's a little hard to nail down exactly what you do these days.
Well, that's because we do a lot. I think, you know, to me, if I were to pretend I was an unbiased third observer, which I'll never be, third-party observer.
Sure.
The things that would be attracted to me about Automattic are, one, the user experiences. And I think we try to put a lot of care and thought into what we put out there. The sort of, and so that's the quality of the software and the experience. And two, which I think is a great advantage that we have because we built it up over the past decade, is we've shown to be sort of a good citizen, both to users and to the community. So we now have 10 years. I don't know if you remember, but like when Automattic started, everyone was really worried that it would ruin WordPress.
Mm-hmm.
And we now have 10 years of Automattic trying its darndest to do the right thing every time there's an opportunity to. So I'm not saying that we're perfect or that we'll always make the right decisions. I'm sure we'll make mistakes in the future. But I think we've built up a lot of trust in the community, and that goodwill definitely pays back.
How you talk about how much Automattic's changed over the years, and I guess, I mean, to me, going from 1 to 400 people in 10 years is a lot, is fast. In some ways, it's slow. I know you've said before that you know scaling employees was one of your challenges. How has it changed? The last real look I've had at inside Automattic was Scott Birkin's book, when Automattic was relatively flat. I think there were, 150 employees or 200 employees at the time? How has the team structure changed? You mentioned Andy Peatling, who's been at Automattic since 2008, leading this project. Is it a similar, relatively flat with team lead structure, or is there more hierarchy now? And how does that affect the way Automattic does things?
The way we've always scaled and the way we continue to is, you know, when a team gets too big, it splits. The main difference from when Scott was here is now there's, gosh, but I think 46 teams.
Wow.
So there's a lot of teams. And some of those we group, and some of those we do have some hierarchy for, you know? But it fits pretty naturally. The main thing you want to try to control for is, let's say, if you're like Mark and Magnus at Woo, or Andy for Calypso, or Bo for Jetpack, you know, you can probably only keep track of, call it, maximum of 10 direct reports. So if it gets above that, you need to sort of divide things or change how things are organized. Mm. I'm the worst at this, by the way. I have like 23 direct reports.
I think that was going to be my next question.
Yeah. So we're kind of flat from that point of view. But I'm hoping that, as you know, one of the things as we scale, to give people more autonomy and authority, so I have fewer direct reports.
How much time is Tony still spending with the company?
Tony leads the Tinker team, which actually was the ones that put together the whole desktop app.
Okay, so the Tinker team, Mo is on this team as well.
Yep.
Okay, so they put together the app, but Andy led the core of the Calypso development, or led the team that did it. But you said 140 people participated in this?
Yeah, it was really lots and lots and lots and lots of teams working together. Basically, almost everyone in Automattic's touched Calypso in some part, including the documentation side, the support side, the everything. You know, it's come together in a really nice way.
What was the biggest challenge during development?
Oh, man. Well, recreating like 13 years of work in WP Admin in 20 months was really tough.
Did y'all make a list of the things that you'd like to see changed in core based on the work that you did for this?
So a lot of it was, you know, internally what we called getting to 1.0. So that meant just having a complete experience. So to do things, you wouldn't have to bounce into the WP Admin. Now, as we ported things over, like menus is one I think that we did a pretty good job on, the new user stuff, so people management. We have done light redesigns and of many of the elements, and in my opinion, improved them. But I think what everyone's really excited to, because that was such a huge push and there was so much urgency, is I think we have 27 designers at Automattic now. I think they're itching to loop back to some of these screens and really give them more of a ground-up rethink or do some more usability testing or experimentation with different interfaces to see how we can perhaps simplify some very complex topics or some things that we might take for granted in the WordPress world that are actually pretty tricky. Like, for example, setting a page as your home page, right? That combination of page management and options and settings, and it's very confusing to certainly all the user tests that I've seen.
A couple of years ago, an automatician that had spent a great deal of time with the WordPress.com version of the customizer told me that they were very concerned about its ability to scale, both in terms of the number of features that go into it and the way it can scale to a mobile experience. How do you think the customizer's ability to scale in both directions has changed over the last couple of years?
You know, customizer's had a lot of really awesome improvements. And I think, I'm pretty sure the .com one is now uses the core code. It's not two versions anymore.
Yeah, I think it is.
So we've unified that, and which is kind of the idea with all this stuff, right? Like, whatever is best, I want the community to adopt. I don't want to, and vice versa. But customization, if we're candid with ourselves, and I might talk about this in a few weeks, the state of the word, customization is still the worst part of WordPress.
Yeah.
You know, it's the hardest. It's where people get stuck. It's where there's a real gap between the promise and the reality of what people are able to realize and sort of create when they get started using WordPress. And It's a little tricky because, you know, if you're technical, if you can code, you can get past all this. If you spend money on some of the themes, you know, they might close some of these gaps. And most of us did this once, and we don't really think about it for a while. You know, I changed my site design like 2 years ago, and I haven't really thought about it a ton since then.
Mm-hmm.
But for all the people who are coming through the front door for the first time and adopting WordPress, this is their biggest struggle.
Do you think that there is a potential future for WordPress.com and maybe even WordPress.org, where instead of a default theme that changes every year, there's a default view that can be updated and managed and iterated upon consistently?
And what do you mean?
Well, I was trying to get through this interview without saying the word medium, because I'm sure you hear it every time you hug someone.
It actually doesn't come up as much as it used to.
But when you're on medium, the UI can change, but it doesn't affect the tone of the words on the page and the, you know, the structures that were used to build some content. Do you think that's something that could happen on WordPress.com, where there's a standard default WordPress.com view, but then you could, you know, customize with your own theme? But instead of using 2015 or 2016, it was just, you know, default, and it was just a thing that was always there.
Now, I don't know about that, but it also might be that I'm not fully understanding what you're suggesting, so
basically, that WordPress.com could adjust the front-end view for its users so that they're not locked into a theme that then they don't touch for 2 or 3 years or for the life of the blog, that it iterates over time with them. Just an idea.
You know what we have a little bit of that now is in the reader view.
Yeah. I'd be curious what that might look like for the I see what you mean, like it, in the network sense of people within WordPress.com, but not necessarily to the person that has no idea that they're on a WordPress website and visits one.
Yeah.
Automatics developers historically were primarily PHP developers, and this was primarily a JavaScript project. What was it like? I saw a note, I think Bo might have mentioned it, that y'all actually cross-trained PHP developers to do JavaScript development. What were the challenges there, and how well did that go?
I think it's a challenge because it's always scary to learn new things. And, you know, especially when you're world-class at something, to become a beginner again can be frustrating, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
did y'all take specific steps to help train people?
Yeah, there were definitely some internal classes and lots of, call it mentorship or people working together. Also a big element of the Calypso process is code reviews. So every single line in Calypso has been code reviewed and goes through that process. So we find that that review process, which we didn't have internally at Automatic before, is a really good way to learn as well, both reviewing other people's code and having your own code reviews. But, you know, if you remember, the first line of the Automatic Creed is, I will never stop learning. So certainly internally, it was hard for people to say, I don't want to learn something new, because it's literally the first line of the creed. So.
Yeah, I actually have been saying for quite a while now that people that want to consider themselves developers in the WordPress ecosystem will need to more and more focus on JavaScript development. So I imagine a lot of people would be hungry to get their hands on whatever resources y'all may have. Would you be interested in making those available to the broader community in some fashion?
Yeah, and I believe we're going to try to do like a sort of an online conference or webinar to introduce people to single page app development and Calypso and everything like that. Some of the things we learned, hopefully not before too long, because there's been a lot of interest in it. We also have folks from Automatic speaking at, you know, is it the Feeling Restful conference or Day of Rest?
Yeah,
or?
A Day of Rest. It's at feelingrestful.com. I'll be there.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so we have automaticians at a lot of places, and hopefully more of those videos can start to go on WordPress TV and all sorts of things. But to be honest, like, it's what I've been told, and, you know, I have to be honest, I haven't made the switch yet. I'm still much more fluent in PHP than sort of the Calypso model of development. But is that it's easier than it sounds. And once you get in there, you know, a lot can be very compelling. And certainly I've found that JavaScript's a really beautiful language.
I recently discovered a plugin that you wrote 8 years ago that someone was running on an extremely popular website with millions of views per month. That was some sort of query caching plugin that apparently is still doing the trick.
Oh, is that the one that hooks in to WPDB?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty proud of that one. It's pretty clever.
I think it runs on WordPress.com. I'm not sure about that, but I feel like I've heard that somewhere.
Well, I think we hopefully figured out a better approach to it.
Since then. Well, it still runs on, I won't mention it, but it's a hugely popular website that runs on traditional WordPress. Speaking of code, and all good code comes with bugs, one of the things I noticed in the documentation for Calypso was that y'all have an account on HackerOne.com for people to report issues and receive bounties. And y'all are doing this pretty frequently. Which parts of your platform does this kind of stuff apply? Is it on WordPress.com, or is it apply to WooCommerce and other plugins as well?
All of our products, so CloudUp, SimpleNote, WordPress.com, we cover WordPress in there too. So yeah, our HackerOne is very active and has been, I think, a huge benefit to making WordPress and everything we do a lot more secure. You probably also know that we have an in-house security team as well that has been working really well and reporting a lot of issues internally in the WordPress community. That's Ben Bidner and Alex Concha.
Yeah, I got to attend one of the VIP developer conferences, and the security session was enlightening for me. I know that y'all definitely have some very talented people on that front.
And we're looking to hire there as well. You know, I think that there's so much we can do to just make the general WordPress ecosystem more secure. So we want to invest there heavily.
Cool. One of the things that is in Calypso, or that's in the new WordPress.com setup, is monetization verticals. I know at one point y'all had a revenue team, and it was your statement that you really didn't want other folks within Automattic to be thinking about how you're going to monetize something. As the CEO, you need to be focused on that type of stuff. Inevitably, you have investors to answer to, and I know that they're very supportive of a long game. But how are you thinking about monetization? With 400 people at Automattic, my very rough napkin math guesstimate says that you guys, if you're maintaining your operating expenses, as you noted in your blog post, you may be nearing around $100 million in annual revenue. Where does that revenue come from, and what do you see as future revenue verticals?
Yeah, I'm not sure what you mean by revenue vertical.
So domain upgrades and custom design and VaultPress and WooCommerce, these are...
Oh, gotcha.
These are each their own little verticals. So I'm curious where your revenue comes from currently. You know, if you have particular revenue sources that are doing really well, and what you see as potential monetization opportunities moving forward.
Sure. You can think of it in three main buckets where our focuses are. And it's both for revenue and product. It's WordPress.com, Jetpack, and WooCommerce. We sort of group a lot of things under Jetpack, including VaultPress and Akismet, which, you know, have obvious monetization that you know about. And one thing that we're trying to do, a big trend over the past few years, has been to move away from a la carte upgrades and have more bundles, you know, sort of like plans. And the levels we found work really well there are $100 a year or $300 a year. And so that's what drives a lot of our revenue. You know, on .com, some percentage of the active users upgrade.
How many active users does WordPress.com have?
Ooh, we don't talk about that publicly.
Oh, is that a number, a disallowed number? What about overall number of blogs? I know that y'all used to have a WordPress.com stats page. Is that still active?
Oh, it might be. But the one we track, I think we might even be about to pass 100 million there, but we're not going to make a big deal out of it because that's really a vanity metric. That just shows how many people have ever started something. What's really important to us is focusing on engagement, And actually, you know, some things that, so for example, the product and the revenue can tie together really well. If someone churns, right, they cancel their subscription, that's an indication that they weren't, you know, the product wasn't working for them. And you can dive in there and see, was it because of, you know, it was confusing? Maybe they never got it set up. Maybe it didn't do what they thought it would. There's all sorts of reasons there, but it's very valuable user feedback that can and should drive the entire product.
One of the things that a writer deals with today is making a living with their words. It's not an easy thing to do. I know on WordPress.com right now, you can publish freely available information, but you can't necessarily monetize your words. So if your authors on WordPress.com are trying to make a dollar off of it, basically the only way to do that right now is an affiliate link or a sponsored piece of content, perhaps, or something like that. Are y'all considering other ways to monetize, whether it's through subscription via emails or maybe like a tip cup or something?
Yeah, well, are you familiar with the Word Ads program?
I am, but it's still advertisement, right? It's a page view based thing, not a reader based thing.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, there's nothing on the roadmap currently, but you know, WooCommerce is part of the family now, and they have some cool subscription stuff, for example. That I could see offering that on WordPress.com someday.
When do you think we'll see some sort of WooCommerce integration into the new WordPress.com interface?
Don't know yet.
On the roadmap?
No, not yet.
Do you think it's a thing, something that's in demand for people to be able to have a hosted store? I mean, obviously we see it with companies like Shopify, but you know, WooCommerce runs 30% of all e-commerce software websites. Do you see a proper demand there?
I think that in the beginning, our focus is really going to be on people hosting their stores, you know, with Webhost, because part of the beauty of why WooCommerce is so popular is the flexibility. And I don't think the usability is there yet to be competitive with like a Shopify or a BigCommerce. So it's just a lot of work to do there. But we're, the Woo team, as part of Automattic, has been really rocking. We're also hiring a ton of people to work on that. So I think that over the next, how I think of WooCommerce is kind of where WordPress was around version like 1.5, you know? It's very early days. And so you get, you know, people are adopting it and they can see the potential. And you know, there's some really good bones there. But there's just so much to work on and improve to make it accessible to a wider audience.
How much integration has there been so far between the Woo team and the people that were already at Automattic? My understanding was that they're still operating pretty independently.
Yeah, well, we want to keep what was working with Woo still working. So, but we have been able to grow the team. You know, they had slowed down hiring. There's now 63 people on Woo. And we've had a good amount of people sort of from Automattic to what we call a Woo-tation, which is like a rotation with the Woo team. So that's been able to, that plus the hires we've been making have really increased the number of developers working on WooCommerce. I'm looking at now, it looks like we have four developers right now on working on WooCommerce, and I think a similar number in the support side.
So if not full-on e-commerce, what can we expect in Calypso in the future? Would it be potentially custom fields that would make more WordPress.org websites be able to be managed from Calypso? Or what other types of features could we look forward to?
Totally. I mean, there's still some things we need to do to recreate more parts of WP Admin, right? There's still some things that aren't quite there yet, including some basic stuff that's on WordPress.com, like showing and hiding blogs, for example. So we're trucking away. The cool thing is it's all happening in the open now. And in fact, if we don't get to something that someone really wants to see, like custom fields, it's all open source. So Jetpack's open source, Calypso's open source. with that, in theory, someone else could add it as well, and we could roll that in. The one thing that, you know, there's still a lot that we haven't open sourced yet that we just need to get to. So I'd love to open source more of the API server, and also just some more products around automatic, like Simperium, things like that. You know, my philosophy is that open source is the best way to do software, best way to exist in the world. It's the right thing to do. And so places where we're not open source yet is typically just that we need to do some cleanup or you know, find some time to work on it.
One of my dream features for writing in WordPress, and I'm reading some of my notes to you from SimpleNote, and your Simperium acquisition was probably one of my favorite.
Thank you.
I am curious. You improved TinyMCE a great deal with Calypso. I really do love the changes that you made just with moving around buttons is what I'm going to call it. I'm sure there's a lot more to it. But the interface is a lot nicer in Calypso than it was before. Is there something else that you envision that could exist there, like a Google Docs style integration where people can write together and make notes to one another, something like that?
Yeah, that's something I think I'd really like to tackle again next year. Both, you know, maybe trying to loop back to content blocks, because I thought that was a just really awesome idea that we weren't able to execute on. You know, we tried really hard and it didn't work. But that's, you know, that means you're taking risk, you know. If everything always works every time, you're probably not taking big enough risk. And two, like you said, collaboration. Whether that's editing or I'm kind of interested, you know, before I do a big blog post, I send it to people, you know, I share it. And there's kind of that sort of suggestion process that right now happens kind of manually. I think I use a plugin on my WordPress called Share Draft or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's sort of like little hacks that we all do to work around this.
Wasn't that an automatic code test at one point, a post preview test of improving that plugin?
Oh, it might be.
I think it was.
We change it up a lot.
Yeah.
So something like that, I think, would be really cool, right? Because writing is a social activity. Good writing.
Yeah, I agree with you. People are always trying to say that blogging is dead or whatever. But blogging has definitely changed to where if there are significant barriers to entry, a lot of people just won't do it anymore. And I think more the new platforms that we see and the platforms that people tend to go to first are those with a low barrier to entry. And we're trying to balance that with increasing the flexibility of the platform significantly. Is there a way that you see that, do you think it's possible for WordPress to both become more powerful through tools like the REST API and also become simpler to use?
Absolutely. That's the whole thing, is that we want to be intuitive for new users and then extremely powerful for, you know, power users. And that's kind of our high-low strategy that's served us so well over the past 13 years. And, you know, I think we can apply that playbook to everything we do. It's hard. It's actually much, much harder than just targeting one or the other. But when you do it right, it provides a path for people. Right? It's nice that you can start with WordPress and graduate to WordPress and then, you know, retire with WordPress. You know, it can sort of be with you at every scale.
We're coming up on WordCamp US. Is there anything that you can tease for me now to that we can have to look forward to, or are you done with your surprises with the Calypso launch?
Well, I definitely wanted to get Calypso out there ahead of time because I think that I want the community to be able to sort of see it and parse it and think about it, especially as we think about, you know, what we're going to work on in 2016. We might have some stuff out there. Might have a few more tricks up my sleeve.
Okay. Well, I look forward to it, but no teaser for me.
No. Although I will say for listeners of the podcast, because this is going up soon, right?
Yeah, this will be up in the next day or two.
Cool. If there's anything that you want to see highlighted in the state of the word, drop me a note. Yeah, I love sharing stories or examples and things like that. Like I've been trying to make the state of the words a lot more human, and less, I guess, about robots. well, because the stats and data are interesting, but I feel like the stories are more interesting. So I'm always looking for cool examples there. So drop me a note if you have one.
Two quick things. Number one, and I'll let you go. Number one is, what do you think that I and other people that are covering WordPress could do a better job of?
That's an interesting one.
And some of these are your employees.
One thing that you're doing right now is talking to sources. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of tech media just reprints based on other people's stories. And I think, good journalism is going to the source as much as possible. Even if it's just getting, maybe it's 90% based on what you read online, but having a quote in there or a context can be really powerful. By the way, that doesn't just mean going to the source of the news. Talk to other people in the WordPress community. Call up Chris Lima and see what he thinks about these things. And, bring more people into the stories. To me, that it makes it pretty interesting.
I'm not sure that Chris would be willing to share his opinion with me.
I know. He's a very shy guy,
He is.
He had a great post on Calypso, actually. He's been testing out a Windows version. I shot him over a couple weeks ago. So,
yeah, that's cool. I saw that he's using a Surface for his primary computing these days, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
My final question is pretty harebrained. I may even edit it out of the podcast, but every now and then I get a post brewing in my mind based on things that I see, reactions that I see. There has been a significant reaction with this release of confusion, and this is something we always see this, and we know this, and WordPress.com and WordPress are just things that exist together. Mm-hmm. However, I have a crazy idea, and my question mostly is, if I write this post, would you read it and let me give you a pitch? Because I have a feeling this is long shot. I'll go ahead and say it. I think that Jetpack's brand strength is very high now, much more so than I would have expected it to be. And I would like to pitch you to see what the potential would be to actually change the name of WordPress.com to Jetpack, because I think it could actually help both platforms. And I'm just curious if you would read that post.
I would, I'll read anything you write. that particular one might be a little tricky, though, because that would definitely confuse people.
I don't know. I saw some stuff with the Calypso release that was just all over the place.
Because what we're trying to do is pretty subtle, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Because we're trying to create a really awesome experience, but not lose the 40,000 plugins and themes. So we're sort of marrying WordPress as a server with this new approach as a client, and that's a pretty advanced topic for people to grok and get their heads around. In addition to all the, complexity we already have around .com and .org and Jetpack and the APIs, we have the .com REST API, the .org REST API. I mean, there's just a lot going on.
There is. There's definitely a lot going on.
But that's what's kind of cool about it. We're threading a needle through something that hopefully gives us the best of both worlds. So it's not, we can bring along a lot of the power of what's made WordPress so successful so far, but still keep it evolving at a fast pace.
Absolutely. Well, Matt, thank you for joining me. I certainly appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.